So we have time to answer them all. And now it's an honor to announce Christian Berger. You may know him from other brilliant talks. And today he will also show us an interesting topic, the technology behind teletext. I'm not sure how it was for you, but when I was a child, we had only a few channels. I didn't like them too much. But one thing I loved that was amazing, that was teletext. And that was text in the TV that was showing different information, like information on the weather and current information, and I'm very amazed to learn now about how this information is done. Hello and welcome to my talk about the technology behind teletext. Teletext is the basis for a variety of services provided by TV broadcasting stations. To understand teletext, it's useful to understand how classical TV works. Traditionally, TV pictures are generated using videocons. These can scan the picture using an electronic ray. This ray of electrons is typically deflected using magnetic fields. The ray scans the picture from left to right and from top to bottom. The deflection of the ray has to return to the origin. This cannot happen at an arbitrary speed, therefore the ray requires a fixed amount of time to return to its ulterior position. In this time gap, the ray is briefly scanning a black video signal, turning the reflection invisible. The synchronization signal is also hidden in this part. Sender und Empfänger aufeinander zu synchronisieren. This synchronization signal assures the deflecting unit on the receiver's end is running in sync. If the process of scanning and transmission is stopped, the picture disappears. Since the picture needs to be constantly written onto the screen, it needs to be sent continuously by the broadcasting station. If you want to display text or pictures that aren't currently being broadcasted, you have to store them locally somehow. In the 1970s, the introduction of kilobit memory chips allowed the storing of a text page using a small amount of low-cost chips. At this stage, it became obvious the computer terminals built into TV sets would become affordable for the household devices. However, a terminal alone is not useful. It needs information to display. Where should this information come from? One idea was to deliver the information using phone lines. One would just call a computer in order to interact with it. In Germany, this idea was called Bildschirmtext. This was not free of charge, but it allowed for interactive applications like timetables. The idea behind teletext is different. Experiments in the 1970s discovered the vertical blanking interval doesn't have to be black all the time. Therefore, the thought of using the vertical blanking interval to transmit data. Time the ray needs to go back to the top of the screen. From a user's perspective, the service looks like this. The user types in a three-digit page number, the decoder waits until the page is being transmitted, then displays the page. All pages of a magazine are being broadcasted in a loop in an arbitrary order. This allowed for sending pages like subtitles or urgent messages out of order. The transmission of a complete loop takes between a half and 1 minute. Let's take a look at a short excerpt of a video signal. Here we can see a signal including the vertical blanking interval and the synchronization signal. If we increase the brightness, we can easily identify the synchronization signal. Next to the synchronization signal, we can identify the teletext data within the vertical blanking interval. Teletext is split into packages. Every teletext package uses exactly one line. If we extract the teletext packages and stack them, we can identify their structure.
Ganz links am Anfang.
On the left side, at the beginning of the package, we can see the synchronization sequence, which is identical for all packages. It consists of alternating ones and zeros, as well as a sequence indicating the beginning of the payload.
Daneben sehen wir.
Next to this, we can see a structure that is seemingly repetitive. This is the address of the package of 8 bits, which are combined with 8 parity bits in order to be transmitted in 16 bits. Parity bits are check bits allowing the detection of errors and even correcting errors in some cases. The addresses consist of 2 fields. The magazine number and the line number. The magazine number consists of 83 bits and encodes the first digit of the page number. The magazine number divides the teletext data in up to 8 different independent data streams, which could even originate from different teletext providers. Teletext decoders ignore all packets with magazine numbers that aren't selected by the user. The line number is a 5-bit field which specifies the line.
Die Zeilennummer ist ein 5-bit Feld.
The line number is a 5-bit field which specifies the line belongs to. The line number 1 through 24 contain 40 characters of 8 bits each, hence one line of the page. 7 of these 8 bits are used for the actual character, and the 8th bit is another parity bit. These lines, which represent the majority of the page, can be seen in the raw data if we decode them. The bits are transmitted as part of a pixel, with 1 being sent as a bright pixel, while 0 is sent as a dark pixel. The bits themselves are being transmitted starting from the lowest value to the highest value. The parity pixel is therefore always on the right hand side. This is also the direction used in serial interfaces. Other than in common and synchronous serial interfaces, we don't find a start nor a stop bit. The synchronization with the bit clock is achieved by using bit flags. Therefore, some teletext services provide pages to precisely synchronize the decoder clock. One variant uses alternating block and beta characters in their German version. This leads to long sequences consisting of ones. The concept behind this approach reduces the possibility for the clock generator to synchronize to a minimum. Therefore, the generator is basically running free. This allows it to be configured during production or while in their repair shop. CheckTV decided to go down a different road. Here the zeros and ones are specifically alternated. Line number 0 plays a particular role. This is the header role. Each line starts with a header role. It contains the last 2 digits of the page number, as well as the subpage number and some flags. Usually a decoder displays the last successful transmitted page while it's waiting for the next page to be transmitted. Once the header row of the requested page is transmitted, it is stored along with the following rows. An important characteristic of the system is that it is simple enough to work with microprocessing units. They were not available back in the early days. A quirky detail are the subpages. Every main page can have several subpages. With these, one can display one message on one page, while it is still possible to include more information. In this case, the subpages are cycling through. Since there's only one subpage transmitted per loop cycle of all pages, the access of a subpage is relatively slow. Therefore, their use is usually reduced to only a handful of subpages.
Trotzdem ist die Unterseite.
Regardless, the subpage number has 4 digits. It's also transmitted as part of the BCD code, but some bits are used for other purposes. Therefore, the largest possible number that could be transmitted is 3F7F. This may sound strange at first. The reason for this is relatively simple. In the early days, people were trying to find a way to offer interactive content without the availability of a return channel. One of the applications was a sort of alarm clock. This was a specific page with a different subpage per minute. The number of the subpage was equal to the time. If a user wanted to be reminded at 23:42, for instance, they selected a particular page with subpage 2342. Most decoders would display the regular TV picture while waiting for the subpage. As soon as the time would turn 23:42, the subpage 2342 was transmitted and was displayed. Therefore, it was necessary to be able to display everything from 0000 to 2359, but no more. For each character are 7 bits available. This allowed to display of 1 out of 128 code positions. This is sufficient for the text as ASCII, for instance, only requires 96 displayable characters. The other 32 code positions in ASCII are reserved for control characters. Code position 7, for instance, encodes the character that activates the bell in the terminal. Code position 13 returns the terminal's carriage back to the left-hand side. And code position 10 moves the paper down the line. But Teletext doesn't need to move any paper or doesn't have any bell it could ring. And since every package consists of a single line only, it is also not necessary to encode an end of a line. Therefore, these code positions were used to create their own control characters. These control characters are displayed as white space, because they use only a single character position. These control characters can change the text color, change the current text color to the background color, or display the current text in a double height. All of this was pretty impressive for the 1970s, and thanks to this technology, also known as serial attribute, it could be achieved in a low-cost way. The control codes 1 to 7 switch the color into one of the 6 available text colors.
The control codes 17 to 23 do the same, but they also switch the character generator over to generate graphical symbols in column 2A, 3A, 6A and 7A. The background color is defined with the character 28 and 29. 28 sets it to black, while 29 transforms the color of the current text or the current mosaic character into the background color. In a later version of the standard, the control character 0 and 8 were introduced. They allowed to transform the current text and graphical items into black. Control characters 12 and 13 switch the text between regular and double height. If a character is displayed in double height, the following line is not displayed anymore. Characters with double height grow downwards. Control characters 8 and 9 can turn the blinking effect on and off. The mosaic characters can be changed into a mode where the individual blocks are slightly set apart. Control characters 25 and 26 turn this feature on and off. For subtitles, the user wants to have the TV picture in the background and have the text only displayed in small blocks. That's the purpose of control character 10 and 11. Up until now, we only discussed the regular teletext standard. That was used until the 1980s. And this is also known as level 1. With technical progress, new options became available, which which so that was introduced as called the level 1.5, and the decoders could now only store pages 7 but 8 bits per character. And this allowed the display of new characters. To realize this, packages with row number 26 were used. These packages contain 13 triplets encoded in the bits 18 to 24, and the remaining 6 bits are used for parity. These 18 bits encode commands for the decoder. For example, to position an invisible cursor or to override individual character positions. Character number 27 allows further improvements in the usability. Packages with this number could contain links to other pages. 4 of these links can be accessed directly using the colored buttons. A 5th link can be addressed using an index page. More links are possible, and they could. And for decoders that can store multiple pages, they can be given hints which page will be called in the future, most likely. And in the 1990s, it wasn't difficult to store 16 or more bits per character. This opened the possibility to realize ideas known from BTX in teletext as well. For this procedure, using row number 26 was extended. Other than special characters, it was now also possible to override some attributes or other characters. It was possible to specify a color for each line and for the entire screen, which could be displayed on the left and right side of the text. And this has been called as level 2.0. And level 2.5 introduced user-definable characters. Each of these characters could consist of a 12 by 10 pixel bitmap. The pixel information are transmitted on an additional page. And after that, levels 3.0 and 3.5 were introduced with proportional character sets, but they weren't really in widespread use. Even 2.5 is hardly used these days. And teletext has obviously been defined for digital TV as well, and all data is wrapped into 180-byte packets, and each packet carries an ID that defines the data stream. Using common techniques, the packets are combined into larger units, and these units contain a variable amount of teletext packets. However, each of these teletext packets have a header assigned that represents the page number within the video signal. Since the headers don't fit exactly into the MPEG packets, a padding field is required, and this field precedes the payload, as is characteristic for MPEG. Now we want to store the teletext data somewhere, and 3 formats have been adopted over time for that. Closest to broadcasting is the transport stream. Lots of hard disk recorders can record this together with the audio and video. And this format can be converted losslessly into a vertical blank interval. And the T42 format is more compact. It only stores the 42 bytes of payload of a teletext packet. And you can see that they are a multiple of 42 bytes in size. A variant of that is called the TTA format, which includes an index at the beginning of the file. For each of all possible 2048 main pages, it shows the number of contained teletext packets. This allows us to quickly find the main page and their subpages. There are numerous teletext archives, for example, the one by Jason Roberts, who collects reconstructed data from videotapes. The raw data of my own archive can be found at archive.org. At the time of analog TV, people also thought about transmitting other kinds of data within teletext. If all available rows of the vertical blank are used, you achieve a data rate of about 25 kilobytes per second. That sounds not a lot today, but compared to 8 kilobytes of ISDN, it isn't too bad. As if you use special packet numbers as specified in the standard, such a transmission can be used in parallel with standard teletext. And in some countries, this has been used in experiments to transmit audio descriptions for the visually impaired. And next to teletext pages generated by editors, some teletext generators do also include their own pages for debugging purposes. This is an example from München TV, and we can see how many pages are available in the system, and we can see the serial number of the teletext generator that is also displayed. The ORF, the Austrian Broadcasting Corporation, was the first continental European teletext provider, even provides more insights. They even show how long the complete loop of all pages takes. The Swiss TV shows here how to debug the teletext system. Level 2.0 and 2.5 are rare these days. The Dutch National Broadcasting Service is still coloring their catalog with this standard. The Bavarian Broadcasting Corporation uses special characters for their text to display their logo better. And apparently there is also an Arabic or Persian code page, but this is rarely supported, which makes this Egyptian teletext even harder to decipher. Unfortunately, a lot of teletext services are solely a tool to broadcast subtitles. Sometimes it does still include the manufacturer's name in the lower third. In this talk, I focused on the World System Teletext. This was originally designed to be implemented without requiring a microprocessor. And in some countries, such as France, they went a different path. Their system is called Antiope, and it simply transmits control codes similar to a common terminal. And this allows to set arbitrary attributes, but it could not compete against the much simpler teletext. Despite this, a lot of people continue using teletext. For example, as one of the millions of readers or as teletext artists who use the limitations of the medium to create pictures. Thank you very much for your attention, and I'm looking forward to your questions.
Wow. Oh, thank you very much for this amazing stream. I had some opportunities to talk to you, to hear your questions. That's amazing.
Thank you.
If there are still questions available, please send them to the common channels on Twitter or Mastodon under the hashtags Fireshocks, or in IRC under the Fireshocks 22, so the Signal Angel can still grab them and we can still ask them. There are already some questions, and let's start with these. First question is, the number of lines, is that always the same?
Yes, in principle it's always the same. In level 1.0 there's always 24 pages. 1.5 decoders can show 25 lines, but it's also possible to save data and do not transmit individual lines. Then they remain as they were before, or they remain blank. And there's a flag to set the behavior. So you can make little animations, you transmit one page, and then a certain range of a few lines can be retransmitted quickly behind each other. And it's possible to make little animations. For example, there was in a children's program, there was one of these animations showing a little train.
The second question, you talked about different providers. And the question is, what does it mean? Because the user goes onto a channel and selects a page, and how would they recognize different providers?
So if it had been used, which wasn't really the case in Germany, then the first digit of the page number, so in, or 301, for example, the 3, would show which magazine should be used. And these magazines are in principle independent of each other as data streams, can be viewed as data streams. And if there were another provider that could, for example, have all pages that start with 3 from 300 to 399, or really until 3FE, really, but that's not possible with some decoders.
Next question. Are there countries that never use teletext?
Yes. Yeah, with pleasure. And there were, in the NTSC world, teletext was very rare, although there was an NTSC variant of the world system teletext. There wasn't a lot of changes were necessary, but there were nothing, it never went beyond the pilot stage. And of course, there are some countries where it was problematic. For example, in Japan, with the characters, you can't really do anything with 127 different characters to really do teletext in a meaningful way. And of course, I think very few countries in Africa, I think, had teletext. But roughly speaking, most countries using the PAL TV system also had teletext, but not all of them.
Thank you. And there's a follow-up question. In which countries teletext was most broadly used? I believe like the PAL countries, but maybe other countries stand out.
Also, ich weiß leider nicht so ganz viel dazu, aber where there were lots of things, that was the United Kingdom. There were a lot of that, but and of course I think that Germany was really the next after that. The ARD teletext of the first program, they have 20 million daily users. It's still a lot of people using that, and
do we have an idea of the demographics of the users?
No, there are really no polls really, but there are sometimes there are, for the stock exchange managers really say that they heard about it on teletext.
So privacy friendly.
Yeah, and it's without a back channel, and you can really transmit data without anyone knowing that you looked at it, which is really in RTL text. There was a few years ago a chat system via teletext, and for really crazy sums you could really send a message which was really broadcast over all of Europe, and it was used by criminals really. And then it led to the police really surveilling the RTL teletext of that private company.
So the comparison to the internet is not too far-fetched.
Yeah, it's a current example is that there's a teletext Twitter, and there's a hashtag, and the tweets around under that are curated, and they are sent into the running program.
This is a great overload to the next question. Is teletext available in the internet?
Yes, almost all teletext providers have a website where, in the questionable quality, sometimes you can see web versions of the pages, and all the technical providers who create the text systems, you can buy the website module for that, and they create websites, web pages from the teletext pages automatically. And on the web pages of the broadcasting corporations, you can usually find it. Maybe it's hidden a little bit, but most of them have it.
This is means like probably the size, the amount of data that's transmitted is similar. So if you have bad internet, you could still access these sites, right?
Exactly right, yes. On web, there's always this web overhead. It's sometimes bigger than the actual content. But in principle, teletext can be transmitted quite easily via that. But I don't know a specific protocol for teletext over internet. But of course, it is possible to make stream bots, to make these bot streams, these bit streams of the internet, but it's a bit of an overhead too.
There is another question from the Signal Angel. One person writes, they she can remotely remind a Kinderkanal hit a game in the teletext.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was a children's channel. I think it was BNBC or some exotic broadcasting system, but it wasn't teletext. With teletext, the data rate is a bit low, but in the 1990s, there was the idea of using modern data formats for the teletext and also use not just the vertical blank, but also use the horizontal blanking interval when the beam goes back from the right side to the left side. And just a few kilobits per second was possible to be transmitted. And it originally was to be used for websites with really crappy 90s technology to show it in a web browser. But of course, arbitrary files, including MP3, can be transmitted over that.
So there were a lot of different possibilities to use these gaps.
Yes, the teletext isn't really stored very well on video tapes, but there are video data that you can store. And on the computer club in the German TV, and how you could transmit data on the vertical blank systems and the vertical blank intervals, and that was refined over time as a do-it-yourself project, and that was possible.
Do you remember roughly the time span when it was?
In the WDR VideoDet project in the WDR computer club was into the 1990s and on Pro 7 in 92, 93 maybe, then until Pro 7 got their own video text, their own teletext.
Yeah, more questions. What video text encoder would you use today if you would like to other GitHub projects?
Yeah, there's a GitHub project for Raspberry Pi, but I don't know any details really. But in principle, it's possible to put the video text lines anywhere. It's originally intended to be in the vertical blank, but if the timing is right and you can put them in other places, so the video timing is like normal video timing. And you can hide the data somewhere else as well.
Can you create art with that? Maybe that's a stupid question, but is it possible?
Yes, that's, of course, you can use it in an artistic way, the video signal as such, but there's also video text or teletext art, how with the restrictions of teletext to make pictures with that. And there are some teletext artists, a lot of them in the United Kingdom, where teletext has been turned off. So you can't really make any money with that. But the first German TV program also displays teletext art.
Great, you are giving me lines there. It's not available in Great Britain anymore. Where is it available now?
Oh, yes, in Germany, in Austria, in Switzerland, in the Netherlands, in the Czech Republic, in Poland, and also in Portugal, in Spain, in Italy, in Morocco, maybe Egypt, I'm not sure, but I think it was Egypt where they're still there. I have a screenshot, shown a screenshot of that, but and there's not much more, I think. There are a few residual systems, for example, in France. And teletext is still used to transmit the closed captions and the subtitles. There's a page 100 where there is nothing on it. Maybe there's a test page sometimes. And other than that, there's just the subtitle pages.
Wow. But more countries than I thought.
Well, I have a little system here for myself that looks at all transponders that it can, all satellite transponders that it can receive, and it really stores all the teletext data from those.
There are no more questions available there, but I have another one. But I have a question. What's your favorite page on teletext? I would recommend that to everybody. Take a look at that. Or maybe it doesn't exist anymore, but back in the days, you loved it.
Yeah, what I thought was really great in the Austrian broadcasting, they had real nerd pages. And it started with a normal science and technology, and it went on about assembly courses for a PC or courses about teletext within teletext and Pascal programming courses. And on the holidays, there was a holiday program that you could type down, and that's no longer there, and it's really sad. It's really, really nice. Maybe you should ask the ORF, the Austrian Broadcasting Company.
That would be my next question. Everybody knows the Internet Archive. Is there something similar, a hobby project or something official?
Well, it's like this, that the systems these days can archive the pages. And I hope that the broadcasting corporations archive it. I mean, it's 1.5 megabytes, the total of all pages. It's really just a few seconds of broadcasting time. That's they have the time somewhere, I guess. But there is a project where from videotapes, where they try to recover video text from VHS, and it's marginal, so that it could, in theory, record teletext. But there are it's called crispening, that tries to make the image sharper, and that will destroy that again, probably. And there are people with lots of processing power to reverse engineer the processes in the video tape recorder so that they can decode the teletext data. And in that way, teletext pages from the 1970s have been reconstructed. And for current offerings, I have a system with me, one at my place and one at my parents' place, with redundancy. So they go switch through all the transponders and waits for the full loop of all the pages and stores it on the server. And then once per year, I upload that to archive.org.
Wow, thank you so much for this. And I would like to thank you for your talk. I want to know. It was amazing. And to the Q&A, there are so many aspects we didn't think about. And I have to ask another question. Do you think the secret services are like archiving the text?
Yes, probably, because it's open source intelligence. These are just normal news that they archive anyway. There was something, you have a name, for example, and maybe you go through the archives to see what kinds of news there were about that. And teletext has the big advantage that news are really compressed down to a very small size.
Thank you for my interview.